thing. okay, so yeah, so I know I'm supposed to actually be here in the fall. I know. But I couldn't because some information just came out like moments ago, literally, that I felt inclined to have to inform you about. So this is why I'm here. Yeah. And it's information that deals with the Ahmaud Arbery case, his murder that happened back in 2020, I believe it was. Yeah. And I also wanted to update you guys on the latest that occurred with Breonna Taylor's case as well. So that's really why I'm here, you guys. And I was sitting here like, I gotta come back. Because if I don't, like, I don't want to mention this in the fall. Because this is huge, right? So I'm here for a second, though. I miss you guys. How are you? I hope everybody's doing well. It's fucking Lionsgate. Oh, of course I'd be back on Lionsgate. Yeah, all right. I just thought about it. 12:12 on the clock. You already know, spirit synchronicities. So, yeah, you know how I do. Nothing scripted. Just shooting off the dome. I first want to give acknowledgement because I haven't spoken to you guys in a second. And there has been... Some new countries that has tuned in. So I did want to definitely acknowledge them and shout them out. It's always love, and I totally appreciate the support that is coming literally from across the world. So Jamaica, I don't know if I shouted you out. But Jamaica's in the building. Thank you, Jamaica. Wagwan. United Arab Emirates. Iraq. The Dominican Republic. And the Czech Republic. So thank you, guys. I totally appreciate the love and support, and it's just always like, wow, when I get feedback that these countries have access to my podcast. And so thank you guys. I hope you enjoy what you hear. So moving forward, before I jump into the whole rhetoric of what I said I was going to tell you, I'm trying to see if there's any updates that I need to discuss that's a little more carefree, free-flowing. Everything's been pretty much the same since I last spoke to you guys. Book done, book with the publisher, they doing what they do, and I will be letting you know when everything is done. I'm super excited, I'm already on book two, and yeah, I'm living my life doing the things that I love to do, which is write and talk, so anybody who knows me knows that's a fact. You know I'm smoking, so you know, bear with me. Y'all better start getting ready to take these kids summer, you hear me? School shopping, because I just seen a kid today. I was walking outside, I can't make this shit up. And shout out to Success Academy. There was a, looked like she probably was in high school, but she was all fully dressed in uniform. I said, damn, school started already? So I don't know what that's about. I don't even know if you started Success Academy, but I definitely seen one of your students out here. Fully dressed in uniform, looked like they was going to school because it was very early in the morning. So yeah, looks like it's about that time of the year, and I'm like, okay, right? Because Heavenly is finished high school, right? Adore is starting in August, I think late August, early September. I don't even know, honestly. I gotta check my email, but I know it's coming, obviously. And with all this monkeypox business and COVID still up and down and down and up, I'm really curious as to how this is going to work this school year again. Like, trial and error, folks. This is how I'm looking at it. Trial and fucking error. So, Many places have, obviously, you should know, lifted up the mask mandate. And other places are really back and forth with it. Like, one moment they'll tell you that you don't need to wear a mask anymore, and then you're hearing that you do. So I guess it varies depending on what state you're in and what the hell is going on in your state. I will be honest, you guys, I kind of pulled back from entertainment media for a little second because it was just getting super messy. You guys should already know, okay, Beyonce's album is out. So if you haven't already heard it, I'm pretty sure you will. And of course, it's at the number one spot in charts, as if we would have assumed anything other. There was, however, a lot of controversy, and I know you've heard it already, but I'm going to talk about it briefly. In regards to this album, certain lyrics that are in the songs that she has on her album had to be removed. Now, this is me, y'all, right? So with that one there, I'm like really disappointed because, and I'm not disappointed in B. I'm disappointed in how much we overemphasize shit that don't need to be emphasized in that capacity. Because the word spaz, and I'm not taking away from anybody who has a disability, who has spasms and things of that sort. Never. Co is never insensitive like that. What I will say, as a black woman, educated black woman from the hood, that's a term we use. So I'm trying to find out where the thin line lies in which we can use some words as homonyms and we can't use some words as homonyms. Like, where's the rule here? Because there's a lot of words that we in the urban community use that is not the official terminology or definition of that word, and we tweak it to fit what we want it to be, right? And it's never gotten any fucking controversial responses before. I mean, we're literally saying bitch on regular TV, like channels 2, 5, like ass and all that, but we look, I was about to say we spaz, right? Look, that's how, look, I'm keeping it a buck. That's how frequent in the hood we use the word spaz. Now, what I'm really upset about, I'm a little bothered by this, and I don't get bothered, but I'm bothered by this because I didn't see her using the term to be disrespectful towards anybody who has a condition that makes them, you know, have those sort of impulses, right? So why the fuck did she have to remove, like, y'all, you know, this the world we live in picks and chooses what they want to be sensitive about. You know what I'm saying? Like, things that really need to be given light to and attention to, we dismiss that shit. But we found time to get mad at the word spaz in her lyrics, and B's lyrics in her latest, on her latest album, Renaissance. So, that's a boo for me. Like, world, do better. Because that was just too much unnecessary focus on something that y'all know if y'all in the hood. And even if you ain't from the hood, if you got hood fucking friends, you know niggas say the word spaz all day, every day. That's like me saying I'm about to black on this nigga. Y'all know, okay? What do you think blacking means? Flip out. Are we flipping or are we getting upset because we use the word blacking and now it's stereotypical, we shouldn't be. Like, come on with the politically correct bullshit sometimes. This shit is just bullshit. Because the shit we really need to be politically correct about, we're not. Totally not. But we had time for that. Whatever. I'm just in disagreement with that. Like, it should have never gotten that much attention. You know, she pulled the word. So that's commendable on her end. But, you know, this is why I'm going to be no artist. What? Nigga, please. Right? Yeah. Whatevs. You know what I'm saying? The freedom of speech. I ain't disrespecting nobody. Like, I can't say things based on how I feel anymore. Like, I didn't use this in the content to be disrespectful. I'm letting it know. I'm flipping out. That's how we use the word spaz. We flipping on somebody. Going ham. We use the word ham. Now, That was fine, though. We could say ham, but we can't say spaz, because ham is food and spaz is a form of a... Yo, moving along. So I don't want to stay too long on B, but you know, she has caught a lot of controversy over her album. Many of her fans, obviously, in the Beehive are so glad that this album is here. They're raving over it. She actually just had like a album party, I believe. Don't hold me to the exact location because I'm talking to you off the dome, nigga. I ain't looking at shit that's giving me the source. Now, I'm sitting here just talking to you. So this is based off what I can remember. And you know, I smoke. But she did have a album release party, and there was a lot of people in the building. There was some, you know, mentions on Twitter about why didn't I get an invite? I mean, jokingly, of course, like what does B look like just inviting randoms? But her album seems to be quite successful. There are other people who are not so happy with the album, and there was a Fox. I don't know if they're an anchorman or just a Fox 5 reporter. I don't want to say Fox 5 because I don't know if it was Channel 5, but it was a Fox reporter, right? That much I know. They basically just disapproved of the album. And I think they disapproved more of the delivery of what she gave us on this album. And this man felt like, okay, you're a married woman, 3 children. I guess he expected the album to be more refined and toned down. And arguably, I kind of understood his view. Not to say that the album she put out is wrong or right, right? She put out an album that she was comfortable with. And I would never tell anybody not to do something that makes them comfortable, right? If it's of truth, right? However, I did have mixed feelings about some of the songs. I think Church Girl, that didn't do it for me. And mainly because it was like the lyrics was giving a blasphemous tone. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. So I didn't really like the underlining tone of the lyrics for that particular song. But he saw the entire album as something that should have been delivered with more the word that came to my mind I don't want to say, so we're gonna go with he just wished the album was not what it is, right? And his explanation was just that, you know, the level she's on or at being a mother, and some of the lyrics that he heard, he said it was vile. Thank you Holy Spirit, that's why I love the Holy Spirit, he'll bring it back to me. That was the exact words he used. If you think I'm lying, Google it, bitches. He said it was vile. Some other woman, I don't remember her name. It's all right. You can Google it if you need to know it. She went, thank you, Holy Spirit. She went on to criticize the amount of songwriters. I think she said it was 24 songwriters that participated in this album. And she alleges that with all those writers, the album still wasn't what she considered to be a good album. So, you know, that's just people, right? You can't please everybody. You should be trying to please yourself first and foremost. First and foremost, please God. Then please you type shit. But then you had the situation with Khalees, right? Which was starting to get a little messy. Shout out to Khalees, though, because that is my birthday twin, 821 in the building, Leo season. You already know. But, apparently, I don't know if it was a snippet or a piece of Milkshake that was used in Beyonce's song, and Khalees wasn't given any credit, or maybe the credit was given, because I don't want to be wrong about this. I think Khalees's issue was that she felt it was disrespectful because no one spoke to her about it. No one talked to her about her song being sampled. And I guess because Pharrell made the song and they had Pharrell on the album as one of the songwriters, they kind of, in a way, went around Khalees. And she was vocal about it. You know, you can't tell nobody how to feel at the end of the day. Wrong, right, or indifferent. People feel how they feel. And she vocalized how she felt. Many of B fans in the Beehive, you know, they went in on Khalees and said a lot of hateful shit. This is why, not for nothing, it's not just the Beehive. Like, a lot of these celebrities' fan bases are just volatile. Not all of them, but a lot of them use the fan base as a reason to bully people, to be disrespectful in the name of the artist that they support. That shit is whack. I'm gonna tell you straight up and down. Like, if you being disrespectful to people, you calling people out their name, you being messy, and you trying to clean it up because you're supporting a particular artist, that shit is super whack. And the artist should be ashamed to even have people like you guys, if that's what you're doing. And I'm not talking to my listeners, and I'm talking to the people who's doing that shit. If that's what they're doing, you should be embarrassed that these people are even affiliating with your fan base. Because that's poor. That's poor ethics. That's just nasty. I wouldn't want nobody to be a fan of me who's demonstrating that kind of energy and then talking about you support Cole. You're a Cole fan. But you out here disrespecting other people and calling them out their name and being all super messy. Nah. Don't say you affiliated with me with that bullshit. But not only did Khalees address that, you had Kaya. Now, if y'all don't know who Kaya is an artist from back in the days that had this song, My Neck and My Back. She had other songs. I don't want to say it like that was she was a one-hit wonder. But somebody I just heard say she was. Don't do that, y'all. don't do that. She did have several albums. But she's most notably known for that particular song. And she has a podcast, and she went in on B, too. She went in on B, said B was demonic. Nothing that we haven't already heard people say about B. Just to be fair, right? You know, we've heard this before. We've heard a lot about people in the industry and situations, right? But Kaya went on to vocalize how she felt that Beyonce is not creative, that she's an energy vampire, pretty much. That she steals other people's creative gifts and content. And because it's Beyonce, you know, it gets overshadowed that this is what's being done. If you don't believe me, you can Google that too, bitches, because I don't come up here and lie. Ain't got no reason to. But yeah, so with all of that going on in the media, it was just like, ew, what? Doja Cat shaving her head off. So, Saweetie, that's how you say her name, y'all? Because I don't be knowing, right? Saweetie or Saweetie, yeah, whatevs. Not like that, but yeah, like that. She cut her hair off. I saw her on Kevin Hart's podcast, and she's talking all this manifestation and higher self. And I'm listening like, sweetheart, that's all good. Because, you know, everybody's now jumping on a whole spiritual wave. I can't even make this shit up. This is why if you're really about it, you'll know. You'll know when somebody's really on this journey or if somebody's just clout chasing the journey, right? I don't know where she lies. But if you're going to talk manifestation and higher self, you need to be a little bit more specific in terms of how that correlates to your new shift in your life. Because to me, it just looks like trending words and cut your hair off and everybody now is spiritual. Everybody now is enlightened. Everybody now, hold on, spirit, let me get to it. Everybody now is what y'all? Chosen. What the fuck is they chosen for? I'm just saying. I hope you people out here running with this spiritual shit is really spiritual. Because when the spiritual wars hit, my nigga, they don't give a fuck about if you was just playing and joking. This is what you said. The universe heard you say this is what you was on. This is what you do. You are manifesting. La, 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 la. So then you got to take everything that comes with this journey. Capiche? Copy. Just saying, though. I'm just giving friendly advice and information because you guys know I'm a Empress. Not by name. By deed. Nigga, it ain't because I just woke up one day and said, I'm going to call myself an Empress. No. Anybody that is spiritual and any Empresses out there in the building, shout out. I love y'all. All right? All my Empresses and Goddesses, I love y'all. Y'all know what makes y'all an Empress and Goddess. It ain't just because you fly, because you got money, because you doing this, that, and the third. Nah. And I'm not even about to fill y'all in on what makes a person an Empress. Because if you know, you know. If you don't, that means you ain't one. That's it. And that's all. But a lot of people now is just clout chasing and attaching titles and names to themselves. And hey, you can do that. But understand, when it comes to the universe and these universal laws and the way shit run on the 5D, oh, whatever you say you are, we gonna hit you with the shit that come with whatever you say you are. See how you handle that, right? But, yeah. I know, right? I just had like a rant moment. It's me, bitches. It's me, niggas. You know I love y'all. But, yeah. So that in itself, and like I said, I was keeping, you know, the whole fucking, like, I'm going through this briefly and quickly. I'm trying to, because it's just too much. Kim and Pete Davidson breaking up. Like, who ever really believed that relationship was real? That shit was about as real as Kanye relationship to, what's that girl name? Something Fox. Look, I can't even remember. That's how important she was. Because I can't, all I know the last name. All of the spirit would only give me the last names. The first name ain't even worth mentioning. But I told y'all when I did mention this to y'all in that relationship some months back, that shit was a whole publicity stunt. Y'all got to understand that every couple y'all see on TV that's a celebrity is not a couple that actually is in love or really have a genuine connection. A lot of these fucking connections or relationships be arranged. Okay? Thank you, spirit. I only tell the truth. They can sit here and take pictures to the wazoo. That shit don't mean that shit is real. I'm just saying. Because when it's real, you know. You feel it. You can tell. And most people who are really in real solid connections ain't going out their way to prove it every 5 seconds with a motherfucking flick. Look at us. Click, click. Look where we're at. Click, click. You got all this time to be clicking photos. I hope they putting that same energy into their partner. And 9 times out of 10, they're not, because it's what again? An arrangement. So we're back to Kim and this nigga Pete Davidson. And I never for one believed that this shit was anything other than a publicity stunt. Attention, please. So now what's gonna happen next? I'll tell you what's gonna happen next, y'all. Wait for it. Kanye and Kim gonna get back together and have this big ass wedding and renewing vows and all that shit and la 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 la. Cause that's what the people like, right? You're doing it like you're doing it for TV, literally. Shout out to Mace. Speaking of Mace, go ahead, Holy Spirit. It will not let me stop. He like, take all of that. Yeah. Mace and been throwing shots at Pity. Pity! I pity the fool. P. Diddy. He went on Gilly's podcast, I believe. It was Gilly's, if I'm not mistaken. And just pretty much discussed the deals and his interactions when he was signed to Bad Boy. And you know, for people like myself and my generation and my age bracket, a lot of us are not shocked by what is said from Mace. Whether or not it's true has been yet to be determined, but the allegations we're not surprised by, right? Because back in the 90s, Bad Boy was one of the dominating rap groups or labels out here, right? Bad Boy. And there was a lot of things going on with Bad Boy that was raising eyebrows. I'll say it that way, right? And if you think about Bad Boy then and Bad Boy now, it's completely not the same. Like, you know, most of the artists, and in that era, we had they had amazing artists. Rest in peace to Big. They had Craig Mack. Rest in peace. They had Black Rob. Rest in peace. Like, whoa. They had, literally. That was his song, though. Whoa. They had Total, right? Classic girl group. Shine. I'm just trying to think about some of the most... 112, right? Faith. They had a lineup that was like, whoa. It was all hits, no miss, right? To have nobody... Now, I mean, like, I don't keep up with what's going on with Puff, really, because he's very theatrical, so, you know, at this place in my life, I don't really got time for all of that. unless I'm the one giving the theatrics and they all truth. Cause you know, that's just my energy. It's I'm a hype. But it didn't really go too well in that interview in regards to how Mace was painting Puffy. And again, he's not the first person we've heard say some unsavory things about Sean, right? I'm gonna just leave it like that. If you know, you know. If you don't, do your research. Shit, Young Thug is in jail. Y'all should know that. Gutter, like, shit is crazy. And you know, as sad as it is, in terms of how I believe the DA or the prosecutors is trying to use lyrics to railroad him. I spoke to you guys about that months ago on an episode, did I not? And I was discussing how Hov and a group of other people, including Meek Mills, I believe, was involved in New York. And we actually got that bill passed though here. So shout out to NYC. But you know, this is not a federal thing. So that should be the goal, to make it federal so that it could apply to all states. But if you happen to live in a state where that law isn't in effect, then you could pretty much, if you're an artist, be at the detriment of being caught up in some charges based on the shit you say in your songs. Real rap. So, yeah, that part. Neo and his wife going through some marital issues. I did hear, though, that they worked it out. I don't know how true that is, but, you know, you never know. You never know. You just never fucking know when it comes to what goes on in entertainment. I'm trying to think, is there any other shit that I've heard that I was just like, oh, wow. Well, we know they gave Kelly 30 years. That's just fucking insane. I'm going to be real with y'all. Like, that's just insane. That's just insane. Like, and I'm not saying what he did or what he didn't do. I'm not getting into the logistics of that. I'm just talking about the time that he got hit with is insane to me. You might have a difference of opinion, and that's cool. I respect yours if it doesn't, you know, coincide with mine's. But I just think that was excessive. Like, wow. Meek Mill, speaking of Meek, has parted ways from Roc Nation. Just a lot of stuff going the fuck on. Yeah. There's a lot more, but you know, I'll be here for fucking ever if I sat here and discussed and gave you little tidbits of shit that you already fucking know. But I just want you to know that I know. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. Okay, guys, so let me get to it. So, many of you guys should be very familiar with the Ahmaud Arbery case, in which three white men literally murdered a black man for absolutely no reason. Their defense was that some bullshit about that hate they heard. There was a bunch of robberies in their area, and you know, he looked suspicious and all this other dumb shit that still doesn't give anybody a legal justification to go around shooting anybody. But, you know, they did. And Travis McMichael, which is one of the white men that were convicted in the killing, was sentenced today to life in prison plus 10 years. Now, this is after his federal conviction. So, they were sentenced on a state level in state court, and Travis just got sentenced on federal charges, right? So, his father, what's the father's name? Gregory McMichael, and that neighbor, William Bryan, they're actually due to be sentenced later at the same, I think it's later today, as a matter of fact, later at the same court. And this is all, as you guys should know, occurred in Georgia. But the thing is, These guys are already serving life sentences for their convictions on a state level. So there were a series of charges that came with the state sentence. And that included actually felony murder. They were found guilty, who, Travis and his father? Yeah, they both were found guilty in federal, found guilty of federal charges back in February. Crazy. Now, according to CNN, I believe, Travis Michael's life sentence, in addition to the 20 years on the attempted kidnapping charge, is to be served concurrently with the state sentence. U.S. District Court Judge Lisa Godbey ruled, with an additional 10 years on the weapons charge to be served consecutively. So it's safe to say that's it. That's done. Now, if you didn't know, in order to make this case that obviously began on a state level federal, you had to show that it was a hate crime. So what the federal prosecutors did, they focused mainly on how each one of these defendants had spoken about black people, whether public or private, using derogatory language, racist slurs. And so it's reasonable to see that these people were motivated by a hate towards black people. I'm actually just glad to see justice prevailing, because this was a very senseless act, and things like this is still occurring. Like, we just got over a shooting out in Ohio. Like, this is it keeps happening. But at least the direction of justice is leaning towards a balance of what's right. Because a lot of times you see situations like what happened to Ahmaud happen, and people are literally getting slaps on the wrist. Like, bullshit, jail sentences, like, yeah. Oh my God, I said jail sentences, and you know, Spirit just gave me this young lady. Oh boy. Yeah, that, I'm gonna get into that later. But he just gave me that got sentenced to 9 years out there in Russia. Like, you can't make this shit up. Like, and it's so disappointing that literally this woman has to spend 9 years of her life in jail in Russia. I don't know what prompted her to even to travel, or however she got caught with this Brittany. That's her name, Brittany. She actually got sentenced to 9 years, y'all. Like, that shit's fucked up. I mean, I don't know why she even did what she did. I'm pretty sure she's saying the same thing to herself. This is Russia, people. Like, why would you go over there with any contraband or anything? Like, but yeah, I'll get into that a little later. Going back to the case with Ahmaud, you know, you got the defendant's attorneys alleging that these people are now fearing for their life in state prison. They've received hundreds of threats. And it's just like, you know, but what did you expect? I'm not saying that that's acceptable, but look what happened. Like, I don't know. What did y'all expect these defendants to encounter after they did the crime that they did? Like, where are you trying to put them at? In a little nice jail? Like, they got those? Like, here in the United States? Maybe. I don't know. I ain't trying to find out. But either way, you know, it's great to hear the verdict is exactly what it is. And I hope and pray that this be an example to those who feel justified to shoot black people just because they feel like they can. Like, because that's really what this was about, if you ask me. Now, in Breonna Taylor's case, which happened during the same year, the police officers that were involved in seeking the warrant that actually led to her death, they have been charged by the Federal Justice Department. So, yeah. Glad to hear that. You know, it's so sad what keeps happening to my people. It really is. Last Thursday, the department charged four current and former Louisville Metro Police Department officers with federal crimes in connection with the police shooting of Breonna Taylor. The city did settle a $12 million lawsuit with Breonna's family in 2020 and in 2021. Kentucky prosecutors did not charge any of the police officers with Taylor's death. One officer was indicted, and remember, I spoke about this 2 years ago, for wanton endangerment for firing actually in a neighbor's apartment. But just recently in March, a jury found him not guilty. So now the Justice Department states that members of the Louisville Metro Police Department is starting to face a lot of scrutiny for being an alleged, quote, rogue police unit, quote. They falsified the affidavit that was used to obtain a search warrant of Breonna's home. So in order to get this warrant, pretty much they made false statements, omitted facts. And that's how they got the clearance to do what they did. This is according to the department. Prosecutors are stating that this murder, because that's what it was done and then conspired to cover up the actions of these officers. So the first indictment charges were for former detective Joshua Janus and still current Sergeant Kyle Meany. So they've been charged with federal civil rights and obstruction offenses for preparing and approving a false search warrant affidavit. The second charges were for former Detective Brett Hankinson, I think that's who it is, yes. He got charged with civil rights offenses for firing his service weapon into Taylor's apartment. The department is also charging Detective Kelly Goodlett, who is actually still on the job, with conspiring with Janus to falsify the search warrant. So, I'm so pleased to see that, you know, the due diligence of justice being served has prevailed. And this should just be, you know, a warning to people that you may do something in a moment and think you're going to get away with it at that moment, and it may even drag out the consequences of what you did in the moment. But justice justice will prevail. God ain't sleep. Now, the Justice Department is pretty much stating or alleging that Janice and Meanie, they willfully deprived Brianna of her constitutional rights when they drafted and approved a false affidavit, okay, to obtain a search warrant. You know, but stuff like this happens, and maybe not every day to the magnitude of what happened, unfortunately, to Brianna, but, you know, you have officers in the criminal justice system tampering with things and things being conspired to be justified in an unjustifiable way. Like, got a lot of people that sweep shit under the rug. A lot of people who use their connections, their affiliations, their positions of authority to do heinous acts and then believe it's going to be overshadowed. And the reason why they do that so comfortably is because that's the norm. That's what they're accustomed to. Like, that's what's been going on. This is why they're so comfortable continuing to do things like this. This is just sad, but I am again glad to know that after 2 years, some level of justice has been brought to the families who lost their loved ones and senseless and heinous acts, just nefarious shit. This was just disgusting. And I just wanted to pull you guys into the, you know, circle of information. And you're always encouraged to go further and research and learn more information on your own. But because I covered this in 2020, I definitely wanted to enlighten you guys with a quick update on what I learned has been the latest discovery and update when it comes to this story or these stories that occurred. So with that being said, you guys, I'm gonna kind of leave it there, but I did want to go back and really talk briefly about this Britney situation, because wow, you know what I mean? Like, I overheard what I read. I didn't overhear. I read somewhere online, and I don't know how true this is, but there was a post that someone shared where they compared Britney's situation to another young lady's situation who is white, in which she had like twice as much of THC when she was confiscated in Russia. But she only had to do 2 months in like a detention center type shit and pay a fine of like 15,000, whatever their money is, opposed to Britney, who I think has to pay 1 million or some. It's a very large amount, don't quote me, but the amount that she has to pay in fines plus the 9 years that she was sentenced is like, wow. I'm wondering if they made her the example because she was black, or because she is from the United States and we're currently at odds. The country is currently at odds. I don't want to say we, because I ain't got no beef with Russia personally. I ain't got no beef with nobody unless they make it problems with me. But make it problems with me. Look at me, make problems with me. Hey, this smoke is in. But needless to say, I think that the sentence was rather harsh, but hey, that's not the government I live under. So what really can I say? And this is why you don't go over to other places breaking fucking laws, my nigga. Like, it's never that serious. I'm a pothead. I am a pothead. Never am I. Nah. You just nah. Wait till you get home. Nah. She is going to appeal it, though. Now, you guys might recall there was some mention of a trade-off. Like, the Biden administration wanted to trade the two Americans, Ms. Grenier and Paul N. Whelan, which is a former Marine who got arrested in Moscow and convicted of espionage in 2020. So we, I keep saying we, the government the Biden administration was proposing to trade the two Americans for a Russian arms dealer by the name of Viktor Baud, who was about midway through a 25-year federal prison sentence. Clearly, that doesn't look like it panned out to the benefit of Brittany or Paul. And I guess now we're just gonna have to wait and see. I mean, you got people criticizing, like, after she serves her time, whatever the time may be, should she even come back here because of the way the Biden administration in America is handling this case? And it's like, how much, you know, can they do? And somebody's saying, well, more than what they are doing, right? I heard you. It's stuck between a rock and a hard place, and this is just unfortunate to have to even be in a situation like this, but this is her reality. And so I'm sure we'll continue to get information regarding that, but I just wanted to briefly let you know what I had heard in response to what was going on with Brittany. And it's like your whole career just gone. Just gone. Very unfortunate. But with that being said, you guys, I just want to let you know I love you so much. And now I'm going to do my, how you say, hiatus and disappear for a little into the fall. And then that's when it's showtime. But I literally wanted to come back and just update you guys on that. I felt compelled to. And to wish you all a beautiful Lion's Gate. Again, shout out to my Leos in the building. It is our season. Okay, everybody stay grounded. You know, keep your circle amongst people who encourage you, support you, love you. And don't just say it, like, show love. Rid yourself of toxic motherfuckers. I don't give a fuck how long you know them, where you met them, if they family, if they fucking intimate partners. If you don't want no problems with karma and karmic debt, I would suggest you rid yourself of anything that is toxic and low vibrational. Yeah, but you know, you ain't gotta listen to me. It's just a suggestion. With that being said, guys, I love you, and I'll speak to you soon. Later, you guys. 2 guys bonus. And I know, like, it's like every time I say I have to say something because because this decision actually just came out momentarily, like literally moments ago. So this is in regards to, oh yeah, what's up guys, all right, formal, you know, introductions out the way. This is in regards to the ruling, the grand jury ruling of the woman that alleged Emmett Till, you know, whistled at her and, you know, yeah, that whole situation. Now, I'm gonna be very honest with you as a black woman living in this country my entire life. You like to have something called hope, right? And hope is great to have. But you also want to combine hope with realism, right? And so did I think after all of these years they were going to indict this woman? No, I did not. This woman's 80 years old, and I'm not saying because of her age specifically that is why they chose not to. Just the sensitivity of the situation in itself made me comfortable enough to make that presumption that nothing was going to happen to her, like nothing criminal responsibility or some type of sanction was going to happen to anyone else that was involved. And if you're familiar with the Emmett Till story, right, most of us are, you know that the two white men who heinously and nefariously beat this teenage boy, then placed like a fan, I believe, on his body to keep the weight submerged to the bottom. My nigga, these motherfuckers got off in court. They were found not guilty. Yeah, definitely was. In fact, they were acquitted on the murder charges. And I think what made all of this so taboo is that they later confessed to the actual crime in a fucking magazine interview. And yet there was still nothing legally that was done to these people. And, you know, most of that has a lot to do with double jeopardy, I'm pretty sure, right? Because once you acquit somebody for murder, you can't go later on, even if they confess or you find evidence to prove that they did do the crime, trial them on the same charges. It's not gonna happen. And so, yeah. But my thing is that we pretty much knew, like, during that time frame, with the justice system being what it was then, and sadly, it has had some growth spurts in a positive direction, but it still lacks tremendously when it comes to equality and justice for black and brown people. That's just the facts, like, off top black, you know what I mean? Like, so when you have a situation like this and you hear back in 2004, I think it was, that the Justice Department is gonna, they opened up an investigation of Emmett Till's killing after all this time, right? And they went about seeing if they were going to be able to, you know, indict anybody or make charges against anybody that was living at the time that was affiliated with this crime. And so 3 years later, Mississippi pretty much just, their jury declined to fucking indict anyone. And so the Justice Department is like, all right, we're going to close the case now, right? But it reopened back in 2017. Now, when this reopened back in 2017, it had a lot to do with, and it was other reasons, obviously, for why it kept being probed, this particular case. But young lady, the white woman who now is well into her 80s, she had an unpublished memoir, something where she was discussing what actually took place, and from her perception and first narrative, right? And she goes on to say that the white men came there with Emmett, but she lied. She said she told them that wasn't him. I mean, and you know, when you hear the stories, whether you did or you didn't, it's really irrelevant. I mean, and that at that time, if that is what you did, look at the results. If you said that was him, the results would have been worse. And how do you get any worse than what we got? So I think for me, hearing this news and it not being surprising to me that the verdict is what it is, It's because, like some of the family members of Emmett Till said, I don't believe we are always looking for justice in cases. You know, we live in a country where we present that image as what we do in the criminal justice system. And God knows, I'm a criminal justice major. That's the reason why I went to school for this, is because I do believe in equality, liberty, and justice. But it's too many cases in this country where you can clearly see that's not what's going on here. And it's not only not going on, it gets overshadowed for many and many and many of years, so long that by the time anybody even decides to peek back at it, half the people involved are already dead, right? Some sort of statute of limitations has ran the fuck out, as if at that time the people involved didn't know that was what was going to happen. So yeah, just figured I'd let you know that. You know, it's just disheartening. And again, I don't think any of us thought that they were gonna lock this 80, like charge this, indict this 80, and again, it's not about the age. More than it is about the race of the person at the time, and like the fam at the time that these events occurred, and some would arguably say still is probably a primary factor in why justice has not been served. And so what happens here? Like, this leaves a big void for me wondering, so what are we saying then when it comes to the criminal justice system, that heinous acts can occur, we can make poor decisions and rulings, people can then get away with what they did. And then where's the remedy for the family of the people who have to, they are living this constant wave of up and down emotions as it pertains to their loved ones. Where everyone else is probably a little bit more disassociated to the case, and they're just reading it from an objective stance. These people, this is their loved one. And it's not just Emmett Till specifically, it's all the Emmett Tills that have been killed in this way or any other fucking way, where their fucking liberty and freedom and rights was taken from them simply because they were black. And another party felt they had the authority to do so. So I'm just wondering, you're not gonna indict this woman, you never was. Was this just to pacify the family? Why even open up the case again in 2017 if you earnestly was not trying to get a resolution? And what is the resolution for this, right? Like, I want to read to you something. Emmett Till's cousin, the Reverend Willard Parker Jr. said. He's actually the last living witness to Till's abduction in 1955. He said, the prosecutor tried his best and we appreciate his efforts, but he alone cannot undo hundreds of years of anti-black systems. Anti-black systems that guaranteed those who killed Emmett Till would go unpunished to this day and any other day. The fact remains that the people who abducted, tortured, and murdered Emmett did so in plain sight, and our American justice system was and continues to be set up in such a way that they could not be brought to justice for their heinous crimes. And so do we tell ourselves, you know, that was an ugly period in time back then, and we've grown from that? Because I can't believe it when And arguably, somebody might say, well, hold on. Maybe we have grown from that in a sense, right? But have we really? Because somebody, I just feel like I can see two sides of it. Somebody would say, well, look what happened with the Ahmaud Arbery case you were speaking of and Breonna Taylor. And see, those offenders didn't walk away scot-free. They got punishment. So could it not be that over the years we have grown to change, right? I see that side, right? But this is the more prominent side that's like screaming at me is more so, why the fuck is it even still happening for it to even be something that we're now looking to make sure that the parties involved actually do get punishment, opposed to back when they got away with the shit? Like, why is it still even happening is the nasty part. And is it always gonna keep happening? The murder of black people simply because another race, mostly Caucasian people, like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, it's fucked up that that's what the ratio and statistics prove, but y'all know y'all history. No shade, right? It's not a stab at white people. Please be clear. This is just the facts. I have white friends. I have white family members. Yeah. Okay. But it's just the disgusting pattern of no culpability, no resolution for when things like this occur. But again, one could say we've come far. We couldn't get both, right? Couldn't get the Ahmaud and Emmett Till. Something gotta go. Like, I don't know what we saying when things like this happen, when we always gotta resurface and come back to the drawing board on some shit that happened 30, 40 years ago, and it's at this point now we see something was wrong with what happened 30, 40 years ago. We didn't see that that was wrong when it happened. Either way, I felt compelled to talk about it, so, you know, it is a bonus. It is a bonus. So, yeah. There you are, guys. Later, you guys.